Last week we spent a lot of time showing how far from undermining the necessity of evangelism, Paul's doctrine of unconditional election motivates it, undergirds it, provides hope in it. This doctrine that says we choose Christ because God, in His grace, for His glory, chose us before the foundation of the world. And it is all of sheer grace that any of us trust in Christ. And that doesn't hinder our desire, our zeal, our work in missions and evangelism, just the opposite. It moves us to that. It stirs us to go and pray for and take the gospel to lost people. So I don't want to re-preach last week's sermon, but just to remind you of that. And we briefly touched on the first two verses here in chapter 3 last week. And I said we'd come back to it and spend a little more time on it today, and so that's what we're going to do. And I want to just do two things as we come to this passage. I want to look at the content of Paul's prayer request, and you'll see that as we read it here in just a moment. But then I want to get practical on this. Now, hopefully we're practical each week, but I want to give you some specific areas or ways in which we can be praying for evangelism as individuals, as families, as a church. How do we do this that God is calling us to do this morning? So as we come to this passage, let me just read for us these first five verses, and then we'll pray and we'll jump right in. This is God's word to each and every one of us this morning. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as has happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we come to you, our sovereign Lord and God and King, on Pentecost Sunday. And we thank you for what we've been able to see in our baptism this morning, that you are doing what you promised to do, that we saw you doing in Acts, that we are reading about you doing in the Thessalonian church, that you're doing here at Zion, and that you continue to do for each and every last one of your people, uniting us to Christ, filling us with power and ability to rest in Him, to trust and treasure Him, to live for Him, to long for Him. And we pray that you would be at work this morning in this service, showing us more of the gospel and moving us in light of grace to desire more people to see it with us and to trust in Christ. For the glory of our Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the content of Paul's prayer request, we're mainly going to look at verses 1 and 2. And I see two things Paul is calling us to pray for in these verses. The first, simply put, is the spread of the gospel. And then the second, simply put, is the protection of those spreading the gospel. Okay? Paul is telling us to pray that the gospel would go forth and that those who are advancing the gospel, sharing the gospel, would be protected by God's power. So let's look at each of those in turn. The spread of the gospel. Look back at verse 1. Paul writes this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, in Christ, Christians, pray for us that, and now here's the content of the prayer. Here's what we as Christians should be praying for. That the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. Now, by word of the Lord, I think Paul has specifically in mind here, not everything in the Bible, but in particular, the good news of salvation in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The gospel message. Now, those who receive the gospel message will then go to all of the scriptures to live as a Christian in light of the scriptures. But here I think he is in particular thinking of the message of the gospel, the person and work of Christ, who Jesus is as God in the flesh, come to earth to live a perfect, obedient life for sinners, to go to a cross and die for sinners to pay for all of their sins and all of the wrath that we deserve because of our sins, to fully satisfy that and exhaust it on the cross, and then to rise triumphant from the dead in the resurrection, ascending into heaven and ruling and reigning. He will one day come back and get his people, judging the world, those who haven't trusted in him, but everyone who has, taking into glory to have him and to enjoy him forever. That is the gospel. And Paul says, I am calling you to pray that this gospel message would, and he says two things, would speed ahead and be honored. That the gospel might speed ahead, literally run. That's what the word means. Paul's probably echoing the passage that we read for our call to worship in Psalm 147, verse 15. The psalmist says, he sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. You think of the full-blown run of the sprinter, okay? Or on our t-ball team, I'm watching our little kids run as hard as they can. And from up here, it doesn't look like it's going that fast. But on the field, man, they are going light speed, you know? We want the word of the Lord, the gospel, to absolutely fly. We shouldn't be content with a slow boat to China approach to spreading the gospel. We don't want gospel to spread like molasses drips, right? We want it to speed ahead. We want it to run swiftly. We want it to go far and wide. The nature of the message, if you think about it, calls for speed, doesn't it? This is the one and only message that can save us. I mean, if we don't hear this and receive it through faith, we cannot be saved. That's what we confessed from the canons of Dort earlier, which was just quoting Romans 10. We cannot call upon the Lord to be saved if we don't hear about him in the gospel message and believe it. And so there's an urgency kind of bound up in the whole nature of the gospel message. And we're to pray for that, Paul says. Pray that the word of the Lord might speed ahead. But it's not merely the communication of that message that we're to pray for. That's not enough, is it? I mean, it wouldn't be enough that just a lot of people heard it. Because what might they do? They might hear it and what? Reject it. Or be indifferent toward it. It's not just simply the communication of the gospel. We're not praying for the spread of the good news of Jesus like we'd pray for the completion of a task. And I've got an iPhone and I get all these reminders that come up and you click the, you know, completed button, right? This is not what Paul's saying. We're not going to spread the gospel just to complete the task. A few years ago when I was in seminary, I had to take a class, everybody was required to do this, a class on personal evangelism. And I'll be quite honest with you, it scared me to death like it did a lot of my peers. So if you've ever had fear in evangelism, okay, pastors have those same fears. That's okay. But I remember in that class, one of the assignments for the semester was we had to share the gospel, have a conversation with a person. I think there was like 10 people we had to share Christ with, which made a lot of sense since it was a class on personal evangelism, right? They thought through that syllabus before they put it out. But you know, the later it got in the semester, you know, I had all kinds of other classes, working, family, everything else. And I found myself just wanting to share Christ so I could tick the box, right, on my assignment sheet so I could meet the quota. And it was a struggle there to say, the point isn't just so that I could pass a class, right? This is my joyful duty to spread the gospel to lost people so that Jesus would have more glory, that people would be saved. You don't have to be in a class on personal evangelism to fall into that mentality, do you? There's a lot of people that view evangelism as just another, you know, nick on the belt. I've shared it. I did my duty for the week. But what we're called to do as Christians is not simply pray that the gospel would go forward, but that it would be, as Paul says, honored. Pray that the word of the Lord may be honored, as happened among you. Literally, that it would be glorified. To know what that entails, just simply look at what happened in the lives of the Thessalonians. Paul says, honored as it happened among you. Listen to what Paul wrote back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word. Okay, there it is. There's the spread of the gospel, and it's there in word, but that's not enough. Not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. There it is. That's what it means to honor or glorify the gospel as you receive it. Or in chapter 2, verse 13, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. So what's going on in evangelism is not simply the communication of a message, but the Holy Spirit is attending that message in power, and he's applying the message to the hearts of sinners. He's raising them from the dead spiritually. He's giving them new life. He's uniting them to Jesus. He's giving them eyes to see and ears to hear. He is at work in those who hear it, those whom God in his mercy has elected to be saved. We don't know who that is. All we know is we share the gospel earnestly and prayerfully, and God takes care of the rest. It should grieve us when we see somebody hear the good news of the gospel with indifference or with hostility. We should be praying that they would not only hear it, but that they would trust it and treasure it, receiving Christ, resting in Christ, glorifying and honoring the gospel message. So that's the first thing Paul calls us to pray for, the spread of the gospel. And now the second thing is in verse 2. Look back with me at verse 2. We pray not only for the spread of the gospel, but the protection of those doing the spreading. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. Now you got to realize the historical context of this letter. You can read about it in Acts, about how Paul wasn't able to stay at this local church very long. He plants the church. It gets off the ground. People are coming to know Jesus, and he's immediately met with opposition. People are trying to kill him. They run him out of town. In fact, he says elsewhere that he's trying to get back to them, but he's hindered. Listen to some of the ways he describes it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, another city, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. So you hear what Paul's going through in terms of persecution as he's trying to advance the gospel. Verse 18, we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. It's probably what Paul's referring to in verse 3 about the evil one, Satan, using everything at his disposal to squash the advance of the gospel. It's the last thing he wants. And these wicked and evil men, people who not only reject the gospel, but seek to do whatever they can to stop the people spreading it, Paul's saying, we need to pray about that. Pray for those who are spreading the gospel. Now, he wants prayer for physical protection. That's undoubtedly part of the request, right? If he's killed or paralyzed, you know, he can't do the ministry. So, of course, he needs physical protection. However, it's not physical protection for the sake of physical protection. All right, he's not asking to pray for that so that we could have an easier life, so that we'd be more comfortable. That's not the point. The point is, pray for the protection that will allow him to continue spreading the gospel. Paul knew good and well he was going to experience opposition. Brothers and sisters, just like we know good and well, we will experience opposition. Anytime we spread the gospel, we're moving in on Satan's territory. And he doesn't like that. And he's powerful and he's going to push back and he'll use wicked and evil men to help with that. But he has no authority over God. And so we have a king who is sovereign, who has Satan on a very short leash, and we go to our sovereign king and we pray for protection. There's much gospel ministry that Paul was eager to get on with, and he doesn't want Satan hindering him. That's why he says pray for that. That God would overrule in persecutions. That if he was stoned almost to death and left almost unconscious outside of a city, that God gave him the strength to get up and go back in. And we read about things like that in Acts. Okay, we may not be physically stoned to death for sharing the gospel here in this country, but we may be ridiculed. We may face losing advance in our vocations. Right? We may feel embarrassed. Satan may well be wreaking havoc in your life as you're seeking to be faithful, sharing the gospel. And Paul's saying we need to be praying about that with a kind of desire in light of persecution that Paul has in Acts 20. Listen to this from Paul in Acts 20:24. Doesn't this sum up what we see here? I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. If that's where your heart is, pray for protection. Pray that the word of the Lord would speed ahead, that it would be glorified, and that people would be protected that are trying to share it. So that's what God calls us to pray about in evangelism. That's what we should be praying about. That's what our heart should just be overflowing in prayer to see happen. Now, let's try to get a little more specific. Let's put some application to this on how we can be doing this, how we can be praying about this personally in your own quiet times, how you can be praying for it together as a family. Oh, that the families of Zion would be coming together with their children, praying for the conversion of lost people, cultivating that in their families from the youngest age up, that it would be common, and how we can be praying for it as a church. So let me just give you three things, three ways, three areas in which, three foci that we could use to pray for these things. Number one, when you pray for the spread of the gospel and for the protection and provision of those sharing Christ, be God-centered about your prayers. I don't remember the quote word for word, but John Piper, in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, says something to the effect of, missions is not the chief end of the church. One day, we're going to be in heaven as a church, and missions is going to be over. There's not going to be any more evangelism in heaven. You realize that? But what will continue in heaven is worship. Missions exists because worship doesn't. There are people that are not worshiping Christ. And missions exist now to go get them. Listen to how Jesus put it in John 4. An hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God the Father has a heart for evangelism. And He wants people that are opposed to Him, that are indifferent toward Him, who don't know Him, who are living in rebellion against Him, who are under His wrath, justly. He wants people like that to hear the saving news of Jesus Christ from our lips. And He wants to save people like that by His Spirit. And that's exactly what He does. He attends the gospel message by His Spirit and He saves sinners. For what reason? Well, we just heard it. The Father is seeking such people to worship Him. Evangelism is all about the glory of God. That's why we pray at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Let it be set apart as holy and sanctified in our efforts at evangelism. Let it be glorified. As I sit and have a conversation with this person about Jesus, let Your name be great in this. Or Isaiah 66:19. From them, God's people, I'll send survivors to the nations. And he goes on to basically list everywhere in the known world at the time. Those who have not heard of my fame or seen my glory, to do what? To declare my glory among the nations. Pray that the word of the Lord, that the Lord of the word would be glorified as the gospel goes forth. Now, how does that connect to our compassion for lost people? We've been studying this for some time in our Sunday school lesson on desiring God. Here's how it connects. What brings God the most glory in our lives? Okay, if that's what we're doing in evangelism, we're seeking people who will worship and trust in Christ and glorify Him and praise Him. If that's what we're after, what could people possibly do to make the most of Christ? I love the answer John Piper gives in his book, Desiring God. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. We're calling people to come and see Jesus as an all-satisfying Savior who will fill us with more joy than anything this world has to offer, who comes to people who are in rebellion against God, and loves them and saves them and redeems them as they repent and trust in Him. He's calling sinners to everlasting and all-satisfying joy in the gospel. So the second thing we should pray specifically for is for lost people. Pray for lost nations. There are people groups who are totally unengaged. It means there's no Christian presence whatsoever among these people. And our mission as a church is to take the gospel to them. And what we're doing when we pray is we're praying to that end. So how can you do this specifically? Well, I would encourage you to pray in concentric circles. Explain what I mean by that. Start with yourself. If you're here in this room this morning and you know that you haven't trusted in Christ, if you hear all this talk about the glory of God and about who Jesus is and what He's done, and you're not there, or you're confused as to what that might mean, to how you might get in on that joy and that forgiveness, pray to receive Christ. Pray for somebody to come and share Christ with you. Talk to somebody here. Begin with yourself. And then begin moving out. Like the stone hits the water, okay, and the ripples begin to go out. Begin close to the epicenter and go out. Start praying for your family. There's a lot of brokenhearted people in this church because there's lost family members. Pray for them. Pray the word would speed ahead to them, that it would be honored among them. Branch out to friends and neighbors and to coworkers. There's a lot of people in our sphere of influence that don't know Christ. And that's true in Holmes County. Okay? Pray for them. Ask God to show you and have you have eyes to see them. And then keep branching out. Okay? Pray for the work of church planting in Ohio. We prayed for that last Sunday, didn't we? Pray that the other churches in this area would be sharing Christ and spreading the gospel. Pray for the nations. I'm going to give you a specific place you can go to help you with this. It's called joshuaproject.net. You have to get online to do it. If you don't have an internet connection, come and see one of the elders, and we'll try to get you a calendar or something that has people groups, nations, that have never heard of Christ. And friends, we'll come to this in a few weeks. Jesus isn't coming back until every last one of those people groups have Christ-worshipping followers in their midst. And our job as a church is to go get them. So pray for them. Pray for them specifically. Learn about them. Pray Psalm 67 for them. Let the peoples praise you, O God, and let all the peoples praise you. And listen to how this connects with joy. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Joy in who? Joy in Christ. Pray the gospel would speed ahead and quickly reach unreached peoples to the glory of Christ. And then lastly, pray for the witness of the church. Pray earnestly, Jesus said, to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Pray for missionaries. We support missionaries. Pray for the Robertsons in Mexico. Pray for their safety. Pray for their stamina. Pray that God would protect them from the evil one. Pray they'd be able to get the gospel forth. People would be receiving it through their work. Pray for me and your other pastors as we seek to find ways of sharing the gospel with lost people in our own lives and families, but as a church, as we lead this congregation to that end, things like Vacation Bible School and other endeavors. Pray for each other as you go in and out among lost people who need to hear about Christ, if you want a text for that that will help you and guide you in prayer, use Colossians 4. Listen to verses 3 through 6. For the opportunities and the wisdom on how to use them. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison. Pray for each other, that you not only have, but be aware of and sensitive to the opportunities God gives you to share Christ. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, verse 5. Making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. That fear we talked about earlier in evangelism, pray that God would conquer that. That we'd fear God, not men. That we would know how to speak and not be afraid of it. Aren't you thankful, Christian, that whoever it was that shared Christ with you didn't let fear be a barrier to sharing Christ with you? So pray for that for one another. And especially pray it for yourself. Pray that you would do more than simply pray. That you would engage your life and your lips to take the gospel to lost people. Pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for your brothers and sisters at Zion. This is a vital ministry that God calls us to pursue. This isn't something in the list of programs that can come and go. This is what we're here to do. It's something we have the privilege of seeing this morning. I don't know how long ago it was. Dave and I were talking about things that we were praying about for Zion. Two pastors coming together, praying for God's people. And one of the things Dave said is, I am praying that God would just give us one person. One person. That He would just give us one person that would come to faith in Christ. That we could see that. And I joined him with that. The elders, we came together. We prayed for that. We were praying for Brandon before we knew the name of that person. And then as it became more and more clear that God was working in Brandon's heart, we prayed all the more for him specifically, that God would save him, that God would do what we just read about in this passage. And we got to see the fruit of those efforts in prayer this morning. I know Brandon's thankful for that, and all of us in this room should be just absolutely praising and thanking God for passages like this that call us to pray for the conversion of the lost. Brothers and sisters, we need more Sundays like this. Not for our own sakes, but because the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. And our desire is that the peoples would praise Him, that sinners would be glad and sing for joy in the gospel. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this is Your cause. As we prayed earlier, corporately, this endeavor to spread the gospel is Your idea. It's from Your heart. It's Your plan. It's Your commandment, and it is our joyful duty to pray for and engage in the spread of the gospel so that more worshipers of the Father would stream to Christ and be saved. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.